Well, hello once again. This is Dr. Koppelman taking a break from the Tiger King to bring you another action-packed Music 112A podcast. I got your homeworks from page 253, and I'm going to post a little walkthrough on that and more details on that in an email that I'll send out. That assignment will not be graded. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the mediant or three chord. We're going to start on page 367 in the late text. Okay, so in major, C major, the three chord is minor. And in minor, the three chord is major. The three chord plays a much bigger role in minor key pieces than it does in major key pieces, and that's because the three chord is the relative major. And in fact, in a minor key, it's maybe only outweighed in importance by the tonic and dominant. The relative major is that important in minor keys. In major keys, not so much. Okay, as it says on page 367 in the first indented paragraph below where it says mediant, within the phrase, the mediant really generally appears in one of the following contexts, either what we call ascending bass arpeggiations, where the bass goes up from 1 to 3 to 5, or a descending fifth progression. Where have we heard that before? So remember, we had 5-1, and then we had 2-5-1, and then we had 6-2-5-1, and now we have 3-6-2-5-1. So let's take a look at some examples on the next page, page 368. Here's example one, showing that there are two common tones between the one chord and the three chord, in the same way that there were two common tones between the one chord and the six chord. So again, sometimes the one can substitute, the three can substitute for the one the way that six substituted for one. Remember when you had the deceptive progression, here's 1-4-5-6. We call that a tonic substitute. And if we look at progression B on page 368, example 14.1B, so we see as the bass goes from 1 to 3, normally we would expect 1 followed by 1-6 if we do that, and then on to 4. But just by changing one note, 1-3 up to 4. Notice in the second level on that one, example B there, the T with the arrow to the right, showing that you're continuing the tonic function in the second level. Progression C. So we have the T encompassing 1-6-3, all of that being tonic function. Remember, the 6 shares two notes with the tonic. The 3 shares two notes with the tonic. And then moving on to predominant, cadential 6-4, which is a dominant chord, 5-7, and 1. So all of those could be considered bass arpeggiations. If you look at example B, the bass arpeggiates up that way. In C, bass arpeggiates downward. If we look at example E, same kind of thing, but in minor, that same progression, at least the opening of it. It's used in that old favorite House of the Rising Sun. Gets a little stranger after that. But anyway, so that shows how the three chord can act as a substitute for the 1/6 chord. Now let's take a look at example D, 14.1D. And if we take a look at just the bass line, so we see if we start with the three, we can go down a fifth to sixth, descending another fifth, same as ascending a fourth to two, and then to five, and then to one. And this one. Nicely done there. So 3-6-2-5-1. If it was all downward motion, it would be 3-6-2. Go all the way around the circle of fifths that way. So again, a descending fifths progression there. And then finally, example F. With one moving to three, and then up to four, and then ending with a plagal cadence here. All of that basically tonic function. That's the famous Puff the Magic Dragon progression. As you can see in example 14.12a. Okay. Let's now take a look on page 369 where it says a special case preparing the three chord in minor. This is our very first glimpse into a wide-ranging topic that is sometimes called secondary dominance or applied dominant chords. Let's look at page 370. I'm going to play this for you, example A. Now clearly this progression is in C minor. If we look at the second level, tonic, and then it's going to end with a perfect authentic cadence, 5-1. And if we take out that second chord in measure one, we have just what we talked about already with the one moving to the three and then onto a predominant, dominant tonic. But the chord that comes before the three chord is the one we're going to focus on here. So here's the first chord in the progression. Now the next two chords, this is really a B flat major triad moving to an E flat major triad. Now, if all you heard in an example was a B flat major triad going to an E flat major triad, you'd say to yourself, self, that sounds an awful lot like 5-1 of E flat major. 5-1 of E flat major. In the key of C minor, the E flat major chord is 3. And we're introducing a new symbol today. If you look carefully under the chord that has B flat in its base, it has 5 and then a slash and then 3. And that is pronounced 5 of 3. It means it's the 5 chord of E flat. That is, B flat is 5 of E flat. But E flat is really 3 in the key of C minor. So when we have the progression B flat major to E flat major, if we were in E flat major, you'd call that 5 to 1. Because you're in C minor, you call it 5 of 3 going to 3. We're going to have 5 of 5, 5 of 4, 5 of 2, 5 of 6, and all of those are called secondary dominance or applied dominance. The terms are interchangeable. The idea is that all along we've had the chord 5 moving to 1, and now, pardon me, I had to swallow some of my lunch there, and now you can have 5 of chords that are not 1. So if you have 5 of the chord that's 5, you call it 5 of 5. 5 of the chord that's 2, 5 of 2. All of this shows to highlight, or goes to highlight, the fact that this descending fifths motion in the bass is so important. Let's look back at example A here again on 370. 1, 5 of 3 going to 3, and then the rest of it just very easily done in C minor. The other alternative on this, which we don't use, at least not at Furman, and not in most places that I know of, is that B flat major triad, the second chord in the first measure of example A. It's built on the flatted seventh scale degree. Normally, when we talk about 7 in minor, we're talking about the leading tone, and we've had chords that were based on the leading tone, like 7 diminished 6. That was a chord whose root, if not its base, its root was B natural. Now I've got a chord whose root is B flat. Sometimes books analyze that and call that flat 7, or sometimes just a capital 7. We will always use the terminology 5 of 3, especially when it goes to the 3 chord. So 1, 5 of 3 to 3. Here's letter B. We'll do the 5 of 3 chord, but in first inversion. So now, again, you start on 1 in C minor. Now the 5 of 3 is in first inversion, so you have D in the bass, and that enables a nice stepwise bass. Winding up on 3, and then finishing it out, 2 diminished 6, 5, 1. Notice that all these progressions are in minor. Don't do this kind of thing in major, or at least not the same way. Letter C. Notice that in this case, the second chord in the first measure is a major minor seventh chord. And again, if you heard that chord followed by the downbeat of measure 2, you'd say, ah, that's 5-7-1 in the key of E flat. And that's why we use the analysis 5-7-3 moving to 3. Again, check out the second level. 1. All of that would be under tonic because the 3 chord is substituting for a 1-6. 2 diminished 6, cadential 6-4, 5-1. We're going to come back in just a moment and do some analysis, in-class analysis, using these 5 of 3 chords, these applied chords or secondary dominant chords. One aspect of part writing, if we look at example 14.4, when you go from 1 to 3 to 4, watch out for the parallel fifths there, and instead, notice that the soprano moves in contrary motion with the bass to avoid that. Contrary motion's always good. This one, you might be thinking, but we have the leading tone B natural in the soprano. And we're used to thinking when we have the leading tone in the soprano that it always resolves up. That's right, up by step. That's true when it's harmonized by a 5 chord. We'd normally want that to go up. In this case, it's harmonized by a 3 chord. It often continues down. Notice that in example 14.4, underneath that second example, it says, good. Finally, today we're going to do some in-class analysis. So if you open up your in-class analysis PDF, we're going to look at example 7, 8, and 9. Go ahead and pause the recording while you open that. And now here we go. So let's look at example 7. I'm just going to concentrate on the first measure on this one. The key is D major. Starting on a 1 chord, now watch the bass. An F sharp minor triad there, being the 3 chord. Note that in the soprano, it's not in the soprano range, it's still the highest note though. Do moving down to T, and then in contrary motion with the bass. That old 1-3-4 progression, and this time, in this case, right back up to 1. So that one's fairly simple. Now let's take a look at B. Both B and C involve this.
Sorry, folks, when I say example B, I mean example 8. And when I say C, I mean example 9. I was looking at an older edition. B means example 8. C means example 9. And now back to our regularly scheduled program.
Five of business. Anytime you do five of something that's not one, that's an applied chord. A 5-7 of something would be an applied major minor seventh. Okay, here we go.
This is the Marcello Sonata.
There it is. So 1, probably 5-6-5. C is a passing tone. 5-6-5-1. Notice how the second half of each of those two measures is similar. That's the second half of measure 1 to the downbeat of measure 2. Second half of measure 2 going to measure 3. And they're very similar because in the first case, 5-6-5-1, T do in the bass. 5-6-5 of 3 to 3. This sounds like 5-6-5 to 1 in C major. If you were just in C. It just sounds like T do in the bass, 5-6-5 to 1. But in this case, because we're in the context of A minor, we've come from A minor clearly with the G sharp in measure 1. We're going back into A minor very clearly with the G sharp in measure 3. So we're going to call this 5-6-5 of C major to C major. We're going to call it 5-6-5 of 3 to 3. 5-6-5 of 3 to 3, and then winding up on 5 of A minor, with an implication of a resolution back to the tonic A minor. Letter C.
This is the Schumann.
Okay. Defining progression. Here we are in A minor. 1-5-7-1. Here we go again. G major to C major. Sounds like 5-1 of C major, but since we're in A minor, we'll call it 5 of 3 to 3. 5, Roman numeral 5 slash Roman numeral 3. 5-7-1, 5-3-3, staying on 3. Now let me take that example and I'll give you a little preview of coming attractions here. With these applied chords, it's possible to actually change keys and shift the focus. So if after I do the 5-3-3, I just continue on in C major, the piece might now sound like C as the tonic. So I rewrote that to make a cadence in the key of C. And now, sounds like 5-1. 4-5-1. If instead, I did it again. I stayed in C major. I go back to A minor. That shows the usefulness. So you can do, when you do 5-3-3, you might stay in 3 for a while before eventually going back to 1. Or you might do the 5-3-3 and then come immediately back to 1. If you didn't understand that, don't worry. That's a little preview of coming attractions when we start doing what are called tonicizations and modulations. All of that involves a very interesting analogy to the solar system that I'm fond of doing, and we'll get to that, maybe next week. I'm not sure. Okay, so you will quite soon, if you haven't already, you will get the second quiz by email with the instructions on that. So good luck on that. That quiz will be due on next Tuesday. And until then, this is Dr. Koppelman signing off.